Over the next couple of Sundays, as we approach Christmas, I want to take time and I want us to focus on the Christmas season. You know, you could get into an argument that Christ wasn't born on Christmas Day. That's not the right day. We're not going there. This is a time that people have set aside to celebrate the birth of Christ. You know, the birth of Christ gives everyone hope. The birth of Christ brings peace and goodwill to all men. The birth of Christ can take away your burdens. The birth of Christ can take away your fears. The birth of Christ can do all sorts of things in our lives for the good. And over the next couple of weeks, we want to look at those things that God and His birth will allow us to do. This morning, you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We're not going to talk about the birth of Jesus today. We're going to talk about the birth of someone else. Two people who had a burden. And the title of my message this morning is Burden Lifting Day. Maybe you come to church this morning and you have some issue in your life. God can lift those burdens. He can meet your need. He met needs in the past, and He will meet needs today, and He'll meet needs in the future. And so we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17 as a start. And then we're going to summarize the rest of the chapter. But we're going to talk about the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist. With two people who are called Zacharias, who are named Zacharias and Elizabeth. John the Baptist, he's the forerunner of Christ. John the Baptist had to be born first to fulfill God's plan. So, Burden Lifting Day, Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. But before we read the text, let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to open Your Word, to see its truth. And Father, we just ask that it would speak to us today. Father, we pray that You'd change our lives. Lord, I pray that someone here does not know You as Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. That You would lift off the burden of their sin. And that, Father, that we could leave this place, Lord, being free to serve You. Lord, help us, Lord, just to be attentive. Father, I ask that Your Holy Spirit will have full reign, that You bind Satan on our behalf, and that, Father, that Your truth would go forth and change us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17, it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea." You know, all the facts that we talk about in the Bible, history shows it. Actually, Bible proves history. And so these are actual people in an actual place at an actual time. And these things actually happened. And it says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both were now well stricken in years." Sound familiar? Like Abraham and Sarah, the child of promise? Same condition. "And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot, or his job, was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense or the time of prayer. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias." Sound familiar? "For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." Folks, when a child is conceived in a mother, That child is a living soul.
Amen.
And abortion is murder. Period.
Amen.
Here's another proof text right there.
Amen.
He's filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And his men and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias or Elijah, to turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Folks, we need to be prepared for the Lord. We need to be a people prepared for the Lord. But as a way of introduction, the first thing we need to understand, that God's prophetic plan is always on schedule. You know, sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes we try to take things in our own plans. We mess up our plans. But God's timeline is always on schedule. You know, some periods of biblical history seem to witness a faster pace of fulfillment than others. But that doesn't mean that God's not in charge. That doesn't mean that God doesn't care. It's just God's timing. There's an example of exceedingly slow times in the Bible. You know, from the time that Jacob and his family went into Egypt, it was prophesied to Abraham that they would be there for 400 years. And then God would bring them out with a mighty hand. And we know the story of what happened to the Israelites in Egypt. But then when that time came for God to deliver them, that happened very fast. There's 400 years of silence between the book of Malachi and the advent of Christ, or the time frame of the Gospels. That doesn't mean that God doesn't hear. That means that we just need to be patient and not take things and be looking and be looking. You know, here's a couple of scriptures to think about. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, when the time came, all the events about Christ came very quickly. It says, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." Folks, there's things happening quickly now. We need to understand that the time of Christ's second coming is coming rapidly.
Amen.
And we need to be ready.
Amen.
We need to wait. We need to always be watching. In Habakkuk 2, chapter 2, verse 3, Habakkuk is an Old Testament prophet. He gets visions from God about what's going to happen in the future. He says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." You know, there's too many people try to short-circuit God's timetable. It doesn't work. God's prophetic plan is always on schedule. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. What God says will happen, will happen.
Amen.
What God promises will happen. And it says, though it, what, tarry. You know, John, in the book of Revelation, after he got the vision of the end times, he said, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." There were the church of Thessalonica thinking that the resurrection already passed. The rapture had already passed by. People want to short circuit his time. It's not the case. It says, though it tarry, wait for it. Wait for it. Think about being in Israel at this time. 400 years of silence. There haven't been any prophets. They have the Old Testament. Actually, they had everything they needed. Folks, right now we have everything we need for life and godliness. We just can't get ahead of God. He says here, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. When God's time happens, it will happen. It will happen. So we need to always be watching. God's prophetic time is always on schedule. You know, preparations for the birth of Christ, once again in this fulfillment of prophecy, begins by an unexpected announcement of another birth, John. Up to this point, Joseph and Mary don't know what's going to happen. They haven't been spoken of yet or spoken to yet. But Zacharias and Elizabeth had. You know, when things don't go in your life the way you want it to, how do you act? How do you act? You know, do we get frustrated? Have you ever been frustrated with God? So I want this to happen in my life and it hasn't happened. You know, Zacharias and Elizabeth had all sorts of things to be frustrated about. They wanted a child. It hadn't happened. To be childless in that culture was to have a reproach of men on you. But here's the other thing. We need to understand that we need to wait for it. It's going to happen. And that God works through the unlikely people, but the ones who are faithful. The ones who are faithful. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, Paul quotes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he prepared for him that" what? "Waiteth for him." Maybe you're waiting for God to do something. Today could be the day. Today could be the day that your burden is lifted off. But you need to wait. You need to stay faithful. Paul, when he quotes this verse, he says that these things will come to those who love him. We can't give up on God because we don't think the timeline is right. God's prophetic plan is always on timeline.
Amen.
So, we're talking about the birth of John the Baptist. We're talking about two unlikely people, well beyond childbearing age, basically have given up hope physically of having a child, and that was a burden to them. But God's going to change this burden today. See, in verse 7, it says, "And the burden in their lives was this, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well stricken in years." They say it's physically impossible, but Christ is going to say later on, he says, "With men these things are not possible, with God all things are possible." All they had to do was look back to Sarah, look back to Hannah, look back to the widow at Zarephath, look back at all these who God had worked miraculous things. She had no child. It was frustrating for her because they knew what the Old Testament said. In Psalm chapter 127, verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." You know, we hear God's truth and we say, "Well, that's not happened in my life," and it might get you frustrated. But it didn't frustrate them. You know, others knew that this was a problem. You know, we see this in our own lives, Angela and I. Because every time we talk to somebody who hasn't seen us in a while, "Got any grandkids yet?" "Nope." "Will we want grandkids?" "Absolutely. But it's not the time yet." See, others knew the problem. I'm sure they didn't go up to Zacharias and Elizabeth and say, "Hey, got any kids yet?" But they thought about it. I mean, you couldn't go through, you know, you couldn't be their friends and not know them and not know their inner desire. This was paramount to their thoughts. They knew that this was a problem. But you know something? Others knew it was their problem, but they couldn't do anything to fix it. We can give comfort, we can give consolation, but we can't fix it. Only God can lift your burden. Only God can solve the problems that you have. God might use others to solve the problem, but not in this case. But here's the thing. They were good people. You know, we talk about that. Good people, but I just wish something good would happen to them. And others were sitting around talking, possibly talking about their childlessness. But I want to point out one thing this morning. One reason that God singled them out was because they were faithful. You know, this problem did not stop their faithfulness. In verse 6, there's an incredible thing said that we couldn't even do. It says, "And they were both righteous before God, walking in what? All the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless." They weren't perfect, but in following God, they were doing the right thing. Sometimes burdens tuck us off track. Sometimes burdens make us take things our own time because we think that God doesn't care. God's timing is wrong. Didn't stop their faithfulness. In Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, it says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is what? Small." That wasn't the case with these two. That wasn't the case with these two. And God's going to do some extraordinary things. So we see the burden in their life. They were childless. You know, perhaps the burden that you have in your life eclipses your faithfulness. It eclipses your opportunity for blessing. You know, have you come with it today? I'm sure in the crowd this size, someone here is hurting. God's got the answer for you. It's a relationship with His Son. You know, what's your burden today? Is it a wrong relationship with someone? Is it a health concern? Is it a money concern? Is it a family concern? Is there something in your life, maybe an addiction, that you can't get out of your life? The other night as we're traveling back to Atlanta, we learned about Unshackled. We heard Unshackled on the radio. It talked about this family who was basically, the mom was a drug addict, the daughter was a drug addict, her sister was a drug addict, and how they individually came to Christ and God released them of all that. Amen. Had a bad marriage and God fixed it because it wasn't the right person. God put the right people together. It had excellent. God can fix these burdens. There's nothing too hard for Him. Is His hand shortened that it cannot save? So we all have burdens in our lives. The issue is what do we do with it? What do we do with it? However, this day was to be the answer of their prayer, and it would come on this day. The longing in their heart, they were going to get an answer from God on this day. Maybe you're here longing, and this could be the day that your burden is lifting. You know, some things to think about this day. The burden lifting day had arrived for Zechariah and Elizabeth. It sets a new timetable, but it's God's timetable. You know, sometimes we wait for God to do something miraculous. It's got to be on a feast day. It's got to be on a high holy day. No, it could be any day. God can work every day in your life. Yeah. Don't wait around for some sort of special opportunity for God to work in your life. This was just an ordinary day preceded by an ordinary yesterday. But from this point forward, things were going to change. They were just doing what their duties required. You know, it says he was of the course of Abiah. David had divided up the priestly duties into courses or periods of time that a certain group of people would perform the priesthood duties for 2 months, and then they could go back home so no one would get wore out. Zacharias was a priest. Elizabeth was of the lineage of Aaron. They were all the right heritage, yet they had this burden. You know, burdens come to everybody. They come to everybody. They come at any time. They could be short-lived or they could be long-term. But you know something? They carried out their ordinary duties. But here's the point. It says it was a day of prayer. I don't think it's a coincidence that Zechariah's task on that day was to put the incense at the prayer altar. I don't think it was a coincidence that it was a day of prayer. Because prayer changes things. I'm sure people in here have testimony of God answering prayer. Folks, we need to pray to God. So it was a day of prayer. But you know, here's a fundamental truth. God can change any ordinary day into an extraordinary burden lifting day. If you let Him. A few weeks ago, we talked about Meet My Good Samaritan. How the road from Jerusalem to Jericho was downhill. And how Jericho was a city of curse. But one day there was a man by the name of Bartimaeus, and he was blind. And he's sitting out on the road to Jericho, down in the low part of his life because he was blind. And Christ comes by. And he cries out to Christ, "Oh, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd says, See, the crowd wants to keep your burden on you. And he cries out the louder. He says, "Have mercy on me." And Christ stops and heals him. Folks, you have a burden? Cry out to God. He could take the blindness out of your eyes. A couple months ago, we preached on Zacchaeus. How Zacchaeus worked for the IRS. No one likes an IRS agent. He was a tax collector. Okay? He was a publican. He collected things. He went up on a tree. He went out on a limb to see Christ. And Christ saw him. And the most amazing thing is, a person that has no fellowship with the world because of the job that he had, Christ says, "I'm going to come to your house today and I'm going to eat supper with you." See, Christ can heal the blind that can see. Christ gives fellowship to people who don't have any hope or have no friends. We know the story about the Samaritan woman, how the Samaritans were despised in the eyes of the Jews. And they were only doing part of the Bible, the first 5 books, on ones that they were following. And it left up this religious schism between the two. Christ can cut through all that stuff with a religion and get right to the heart of matter about truth. And reveals all the things in her life that people would be appalled of. Well, maybe not today. People would be appalled at her life. But Christ met her at her need. Christ met her at the time. Christ met her at the right place. Christ didn't take care of the physical issues. He took care of the spiritual one. Oh, that was a burden-lifting day for her. The woman in Luke chapter 8 had a physical infirmity of issue of blood for 12 years. Spent all of her money trying to get things right. Trying to get relief. Trying to get healed. And you know something? Wasted all the money and nothing was any better. Until one day she said, "I need to touch Christ's garment." And she fought through the crowd. You know, sometimes to get to God, you have to give up all the stuff that's holding you back, and reach out to Christ and touch Him. And the moment she touched His garment, she was healed. And she knew she was healed. Oh. Zacharias and Elizabeth had a burden in their lives. But this was going to be a different day for them. You have a burden in your life today? Let this be a different day for you. Amen? So the burden lifting day arrived, and God sent an angel, Gabriel, down to meet them. And it started a path where the blessings that they got from that point forward were far greater than they had ever expected. God turned their burden into something that we all know history was a pivotal event in the prophetic plan of God. They had hoped for a baby. At Christmas, we talk about hope. You know, one movie says, this is the season of perpetual hope. With God, there is hope. They wanted a baby, one to whom they could show their love, one to whom they could see themselves in Him. One would keep their memory alive in the neighborhood. One that their neighbors would say, oh, that's great. They kept their hope in God. You know, in Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5, it says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall what? Give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, they knew that. They had the Scripture. He was a priest. And sometimes we read it and say, not for me. Just wait. Just wait. Just keep on trusting. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. They'd hoped for a baby, and God promised them one. God gave them a child that's going to be remembered through history. Oh, by the way, Zacharias and Elizabeth are in the gospel account too. They're also remembered. That's a blessing that they never thought. They thought they were just ordinary people doing ordinary things on ordinary days. And God turned them into extraordinary things. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, the first part of that verse, it says, and hope maketh not ashamed. He is the God of all hope. He is the God of all comfort. He is the God of all grace. He is the God of all mercy. He is the God of all strength. He is the God of all salvation. He's all those things. He can take away your burden. Amen. He can bless you far beyond what you ever thought possible. They weren't just going to have a son. They were going to have John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. The forerunner of Christ, who Christ Himself says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 10, talks about the prophecy out of Isaiah. It says, this is He of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And I find it interesting how as the time of the delivery of John was getting closer and closer and closer, that all of a sudden when this happens, other things happen in Zechariah. There's all sorts of prophecy that comes. They had hoped for a baby. God gave them one. And God gave them so much more. God gave them a child that would go down through history. God gave them a child that sets God's prophetic plan in motion for Christ and Christ's ministry. You know, the angel's announcement itself was a blessing. You know, I haven't had any angel come and prepare me. That's a pretty significant thing. You know what? But here's what we need to understand. God answers your prayers. In verse 13, it says here, it says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. If things don't go the way that you think they should, keep praying. Keep praying. In Luke chapter 1 verse 19 it says, "And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, ascended to the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee to show these," what? "Glad tidings." You know, news from God is always good. If we're doing, if we're looking for Him, if we're waiting on Him. So the announcement, the angel's announcement was a great blessing. The blessing was that their prayers were going to be answered. The angel's announcement puts in silence, literally, unbelief in Zechariah's life. In verse 20 it says, "And behold, thou shalt be dumb." Do you know why? Because he didn't believe. And not be able to speak. Now, maybe wise probably would enjoy that. "But until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their seed." You know something? You can walk blameless with God and still not have belief. Because in the dialogue between the angel and Zacharias, he said, "You got to be kidding me. This is not going to happen." And to prove a point, God said, "Okay." The angel said, "You're going to not be able to speak." The act of conception takes away reproach. In verses 24 and 25, it says, "And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived." And here's what, they went back home, and all of a sudden now, Elizabeth is pregnant. "Hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me, to take away my reproach among men." And in between the first part of the chapter and the last part of the chapter, another person comes, her cousin, Mary. When the child leaps in her womb, when she hears Mary's voice. But the angel announcement says, God answers your prayer. That's a blessing. Angel announcement says, don't have unbelief. He puts to silence that. Angel's announcement basically takes away the reproach, and we see what Elizabeth's response was that. The birth of John himself brought joy. In verses 58 through 66, we see this account, but in verse 58 it says, "And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord has showed" what? "Great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her." The birth of John fulfilled God's will. These are all blessings far beyond what they ever anticipated. They just wanted a child. They got the forerunner of Christ. They got the prophet. Folks, what would happen in our lives if we just let our ordinary lives be turned into the hands of an extraordinary God? We don't know what would happen. It fulfills God's will in verse 63, and he asked for a writing table. See, the world said, "Oh, you're going to name him Zacharias, right?" No. And he asked for a writing table, and he puts it, he says, "Their name is John," because that's what Elizabeth said. That's what the angel told us to do. Folks, when God gives you a blessing, you need to follow it God's way. And he asked for a writing table, and he wrote saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all, because for 9 months, Zacharias had all this stuff inside of him, and now he can talk. And he glorifies God, and it says that his mouth was open immediately, and his tongue loose, and he spake and praised God. And fear came upon all that dwelt around about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad through all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. Oh, folks, a blessing far, far more than just having a child. Gift from God. Announced by God directly. And then Zacharias gets the opportunity to prophesy for God. In verses 76 through 80, and it says here, it says, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest." You know what? When God does something extraordinary in your life, You need to praise the extraordinary God for that. And you need to understand the extraordinary reason why God did that. And not just take it for granted. There's too many people that just take things for granted today. And he's holding John. And he says, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. To give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us. To give light to them that sit in darkness." For 400 years, prophets have been silent. For 400 years, they've been going through the ritual. But there are still faithful people out there. There's still faithful people out there. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to glide our feet into the way of peace. Oh, folks, the life of John was a blessing. The light that John gave was a blessing. The peace that John brought was a blessing. The message that John said was a blessing. Because Zacharias and Elizabeth walked faithfully in the Lord, even though they had a burden. It says, "Then the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing until Israel." Folks, this is a part of the Christmas story that everybody needs to know. That there's a lot of things that happen before Christ is even born. It's more than just a baby in the manger.
Amen.
It's God bringing all these things that for centuries some people have been waiting for. He's bringing them all to pass. And now it's the time. Folks, now it's the time for your burdens to be lifted. What's your burden? What's the areas of your defeat? What's your need today? Let this be your burden lifting day. Christ says, as I close, in Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden or heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Do you have the burden of sin in your life? Do you have the burden of not knowing what the future is? Come to Christ and get saved today. Accept him as your Savior and have a home in heaven. You got a burden that you've tried to fix on your own? Go on the wrong path. You know it's the wrong way. You can't fix it yourself. Bring that to Christ. Lay it down at the cross and let him change your path. Amen. Let this be your burden lifting day. Let this be an ordinary day turned extraordinary because we met with God today. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to worship you, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that just move in our crowd today and your people. And Lord, that you just show us what we need to do. Father, I just ask that you be with us time of invitation, Father. Help us be responsive to it. Help our burdens be lifted at Calvary. And we give you all the glory and honor and praise. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.